wonderful place. The price is good. The people are nice. Just come in, do your nails, and then walk up. I walked in and then get whatever I, you know, whoever they gave me. Everybody.
Hey, you guys. This is Parent Elizabeth, Pet Deck Baby Girl, and welcome to Karen's Inquisitive Corner. Today, I am currently sitting in Spring Nail at 1945 Mallory Lane in Franklin, Tennessee, the Cool Springs area. And I have been promising you all an interview with Johnny, the owner. Well, Johnny's here right now, no questions off limit, and we're going to hit it hard to begin with. So come on with this interview with Johnny at Spring Nail, 1945 Mallory Lane. Okay, you guys, as promised, we're sitting here with Johnny Lee at Spring Nails in Cool Springs. We have been trying to do this interview for months, right, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
So the first question is, how in the world did you come from Vietnam to Franklin, Tennessee? How in the world did you get here?
Well, a lot of people didn't know it's my father. His South Vietnam commander, and he was in prison for 5.5 years in Vietnam. So the U.S. government sponsored my family over here, and we came over in 1990. The government got us an apartment, found a job, basic car, trained English, how to speak English, proper English, and we were off since then.
You are so fluent in English, much more fluent than some of your family members that work here in the nail shop. How did you become so fluent in English?
There are different degrees. Sometime when you come up, grew up when I was like me, I came here when I was little, 9 years old. And so you learn the English much easier than my counterparts where people come over when they're 20, 30, 40. So they are harder to incorporate the English and language. And because, well, I was bullied when I was younger, like most people is, but I took that. I was bullied because I didn't speak English well.
Oh, okay. As a child.
Yes. I took that and corrected my English so that he couldn't do it anymore. So I took that as a positive spin. And therefore, I always try to correct myself to learn more and correct myself with English.
And you mentioned earlier that your father was in jail and that the government supported you all to come here. So would you please explain that?
Well, in jail is different. A POW is prisoner of war.
Okay.
So it was a civil war in Vietnam, North versus South.
Mm-hmm.
So after the North won, the American government was supporting the South. So when they left in 75, everybody who's left over there was put in jail, and since my dad was a ranking officer, he had to lie, and he said he was a soldier. Hmm. That's what he's telling me.
Okay.
So he was just put 5.5 years. So the government,
oh, wow.
U.S. government, I guess, felt bad or whatever it is. Because they left, they was in jail, so they sponsored those people who were in jail for 3 or more years to come over to the U.S. So we flew in a plane, came over. We weren't like, boat people, or we weren't escaping. You know, people wanted to go, but we were the first few families that could go. It was unbelievable because it was like a dream to come to the U.S., but to be able to be on a plane to fly over, that was just amazing.
And there are so many different nail shops, and sometimes we may put everybody in the same category or in the same hat, but are the majority of the people actually from Vietnam?
Yes. The majority, I know that earlier, before my time, there were more Korean nail shops, but as I was growing up, it's the majority I know is Vietnamese. That's because we are meticulous and hardworking, and versus, you know, when you come over and you don't speak English well, or you don't have time to learn English like most people, you can't strive to be better. With this one, with your skill and hard work, you can. So you go to school for 3 months, and then you take your written test, your practical test, and then you're out to work in the real world. Depending on your skill level and how much you want to be better, that determines your pay grade. So first you come in, there's a pay grade when you're learning. And as you grow you can do acrylics, you can do, you know, as the technology advances,
sure,
you progress and you make more money. But some people, they don't want to. They're just happy with doing the basic stuff. And that's fine also.
Why have so many Vietnamese come over here? Why is it nails? I mean, a lot of people, it's not always nails, of course, but a lot of people go there. Why nails?
Like I said earlier, it's just easier. And based on how hard you work, you can progress very fast. Versus if you work in a factory, you might get a dollar to raise every 3 months or 6 months. Here, if you work hard at it, once you have your license and start working, within 2 months, 3 months, you can skyrocket. And once you're at the top of your game, you can expand and open your salon and make your own rules and start income. Versus when, no offense to people who want to work in the factory.
Sure.
When they do, they're very, it's a stable life, but there's not a lot to grow. There's not an entrepreneurship in there.
When you decided that you were going to be an owner of a nail shop, and plus that gives you an ownership of something, did the American government, did anybody help you start this shop?
No. Basically, when you, like any business, when you open your shop, it's a risk. But depending on your skill level, I had a following. I had people come to me regularly.
Yes. And
with those, I was more confident when opening shop. With my followers, I could, you know, pay rent and pay electricity bills, whatever's left. You know, I've been doing nails for 20 some years, so I know things and outs of it. So I was more confident than most.
I want to go back and get a clarification, because even myself, a lot of people think or assume that when Vietnamese, Korean, or whatever come over here, they get a lucrative business, that somebody has given them thousands and thousands of dollars to come over here and start this business. So what you're saying is that's not true.
That is correct. It's not true. My family in Vietnam was so poor that we pretty much didn't have anything. We came over here. We didn't have any family members. We didn't know anyone. So basically, my dad worked in a factory. My mom worked in a factory, cleaning, you know, bathrooms and so on. You got to start somewhere.
Right.
And my mom went into work in a nail place and said, hey, this is an opportunity. So my dad and my mom took a risk, got a loan out, opened a little nail shop in near Hickory Hollow Mall.
I remember Hickory Hollow.
Our first nail shop name was Asian Nails. And people was wondering, is this for Asian people only or not? I don't know why they picked that, but you know, yeah, it's just, that's one of our first shops there. And we had to learn. We didn't know how to do nails well, but it's a learning process. Sure. It's just a risk. So
I did not know that. Audience, I'm sure you all didn't know that. How did you get your wife over here, your relatives over here? How did you get them from Vietnam here?
Well, my wife, her brother sponsored her over.
Okay.
So usually a family member, brother's sponsorship is about 10 or 11 years. And it took her that long to sponsor her over. And then I met her here in the U.S. And we are currently sponsoring her brother to come over here. And it's been about 12 or 13 years already. We're actually like on a waiting list to be approved. And we have to, the government has to have to know that we have the income to support all these family members. That's like 3, 4, or 5.
Okay.
So that we can guarantee them that they will not take welfare or food stamps or anything while they're here within 5 years.
Oh, really?
Yes, we have to have an amount of income for them to accept it. Let's say if I'm sponsoring 5 people and my income is not enough, you have to have a co-sign. You can't, they won't accept it.
Really?
It's just a lot of process, a lot of people don't know. You can't just come over here, like, you know, because you want to.
Yeah. I did not know that. And so within the 5 years that you're here in the country, you cannot get welfare, food stamps, anything like that. Whoever sponsors you have to take care
of
you.
That's our guarantee to the government that, you know, we can sponsor.
Really?
Yeah, we have to show all our incomes, 1099s or W-2s or whatever, saying that we are capable of supporting them.
So when they look at your income, are they looking for you to support them based on your income here or based on how you would support them in Vietnam?
No, just here, cost of living here.
The cost of living here. The cost
of living in that year is, let's say one person is $10,000. So if I'm sponsoring three people, I must have a net income of 30-something thousand to support three family members and so on.
Johnny, how long did it take you to get your crew here, to get your family here?
It depends on the government. Like I said, I sponsored my wife's brother for 13 years now. Because of COVID, there was some pushback.
Wow. So when you say sponsor, what does that include?
So when we became a citizen, we file and say we go to the immigration lawyer.
Okay.
Say, hey, I have some family members that I want to sponsor. We put in a name and address and stuff, and we send it off. And then we just wait until the time comes, mm-hmm. and then they say, hey, okay, your papers come up. So they ask you, are they a criminal? They do a background check.
Okay.
They say, on the do person. They have any more kids? How many kids they are? How old are they? Where are they working now? Are they with the communist government? This and that. They have to do a background check on us and on them for them to come over.
Oh, wow. That is very interesting. Your kids were born here. You have two or three?
Two.
Two kids. So they are American citizens.
Yes.
How are you transitioning them, or how are you keeping your culture alive along with American culture? And what do you speak at home? Do you speak English? Do you speak Vietnamese with your kids, or what?
I'm glad you asked that. This one is close to the heart because my kids, I speak, of course, during the generations that are here, we will lose the Vietnamese language. I try to speak a lot of it at home, but because I understand English,
yes,
there's no pause. Like for my parents, when I was younger, they didn't understand well, so they paused. They say, tell me in Vietnamese. So I had to learn more.
Right, but translate
now,
it for them.
Yes, but now I understand it, so I sometimes forget to pause and tell them, speak to me in Vietnamese. So therefore, there's always going to be a loss of the language. And because I was blessed enough, I grew up in Vietnam till I was 10. And I came over here still surrounded by Vietnamese culture. Mm-hmm. And I grew up here since I was 10. So I knew a lot about American culture. So I'm kind of the best of both worlds because I want to pick what's best in Vietnam and what's best in American culture. So in just some ideas, in Vietnam, it's a lot about respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach a lot about kids. And, over here, as America grows and more worldly, whatnot, it's changed a little bit.
Yes, it has.
I know it wasn't like that. So I want to keep that.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, in Vietnam, there is not a reassurance of love towards kids. So I want to change that. I want to take that American culture to say, hey, son, that's a good job. I'm proud of you.
Yes.
My dad never said that to me.
Yes.
My dad,
yes.
In Asian cultures, if he ain't yelling at you, you're doing a good job.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's even, now let me correct you a little bit. That's even with some of us Americans too. Mm-hmm. My mother was not the type of mother that said, I love you. Mm-hmm. Or she didn't hug and kiss or anything like that. And definitely not my daddy. But my children, oh my goodness, she's, I love you. And I'm like, dang, you've never told me that you love me. Well, she's confused now. So the other day, I said, I love you. She said, I love you, baby. I don't know if she knew she was talking to me or not. I just took it, But in some situations, yes. And it's interesting you would say that, because even in my generation, in my family, in my culture, we're trying to change that with our children, yeah, because our parents didn't give us that either.
I think it's because, our generation, we were poor. Love means differently. Love means supporting and having a roof over your head and food and three meals a day. It's not all those affirmative words of caring, mm-hmm, words of affection.
Yes.
It's more of like a doing, a support. You have everything. When I was younger, my dad's parents gave me everything, what I wanted within their means.
Sure. So, are you the only child?
No, I'm the youngest of the child. I'm the youngest of the family.
How many kids?
Two brothers, one sister.
Are they all here?
Yes, they are. my brother and myself came over here with my parents.
Okay.
Because we were under 18 at the time. The Americans sponsored us. Mm-hmm. And we came over, became citizen, and then sponsored my brother and sister. That took 11 years. So now it's been 30-some years, so they're all citizens and stuff like that.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Johnny, what have you learned by opening up Springnail? Like, what is the first thing that's going to come to your mind that gives you joy and happiness about Springnail?
I'm a people person, so I like to make the atmosphere warming, mm-hmm. welcoming. I always tell my wife and stuff, like, you know, we don't have money to do a big salon. We don't mm-hmm. have, you know, this and that. But what we have is the atmosphere and
right.
the warm, like, friendly, you know, atmosphere that we have.
That's it's kind of like a family atmosphere.
So we want, you know, to know everybody. We talk across the bar and stuff like that.
Just, sure. Just, how do you remember everybody's name?
That's my wife. I try to.
I do not know. That's one thing. And you guys, I'm not saying this because Johnny's sitting here in front of me or because I just got my nails done and they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But the reason that I continued to go here, and I actually shared it with you, Johnny, is because when you walk through the door, they're going to say, hey, how you doing? Hey, Karen. Hey, Miss Karen, how you doing? You know, so it makes you feel like they want you here. I know some of you all have actually walked in salons and they look at you like, what the heck are you doing here? You know, what do you want? But you don't get that when you come to Springnail. And those of you that come here, comment and let us know how you all feel when you walk in Springnails to get your nails done. What do you want for your children? Do you want your children to take your business over? Do you want your children to do their own thing? What do you want for them?
I want them to be, do what they love, but at the same time making money. So mm-hmm. my love was art, but
really?
to be a graphic designer, you have to move somewhere to be a fine art. There's not a lot of money in that. But my when I start doing nails,
uh-huh.
it's not really my thing, but I have incorporated it into what I do. So no matter what you do, whatever your love is, you don't have to go. If you love animals, you don't have to
right.
go to do, you know, to be a veterinarian, go to the zoo. Whatever that you do, you can incorporate your love into it. And once you do that, you can be happy wherever you're at. So I want them to do what they like. Also think about making money also. Mm-hmm. That's more realistic, not to do what you love and be poor.
Exactly. I'm with you on that one. Yeah. This is something I have always wondered. How do your family, I'm just going to say family, how do they get paid when, like, we pay, let's say, when I get out of here, I'm probably going to pay like $120 for my nails and toes. So how much, if you don't mind me asking, you said nothing's off limits, how do they get paid from that?
They get paid a commission.
Okay.
So
each person.
Yes.
Okay.
If they work more, they'll have more. They have a bigger ticket, they get more. We keep a little bit for the overhead for the suppliers. But they get paid commission. So that's why everybody's like, you know, they don't have a set time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say mm-hmm. we open at 10. We require you to be here at 10.
Sure.
But let's say you have a sick child or, hey, I'm...
Exactly.
My day is going to be from 12 to 6. Like, okay, if we can work with it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't make anybody be here. If you're here more, you make more money. If you're not, mm-hmm. you're not making money. If you're here half a day, like, that's your schedule. I have to hire somebody else to cover the other half. So you're making less money.
Sure. So you work to make your money.
Yes.
How much money you want to make. I have seen people that were here many years ago that have left and have started their own shop from working under you. That kind of system just keeps going. And so you keep spreading that education to other people and encouraging them to, like, hey, this is something you can do. Because I know how many shops have opened that started under you, Johnny?
I mean, not a lot. There's people who, maybe 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
but you know, that's the natural order of things. You come in, you start at the bottom, you learn your skill, you learn your technique, mm-hmm. and then once you are fully grown, mm-hmm. you have your wings. I'm happy that you open a shop. I'm not one of these owners that are afraid that, oh my God, she's going to take all my
right.
customers. It's okay. There's
exactly.
nothing to go around. Because if you,
exactly.
if you build an atmosphere, nobody can take that from you. That's
exactly.
my specialty.
Exactly.
If you're building, you know, if If you go there because of the scenery, somebody can do the same thing. But if you build an atmosphere, they can go somewhere. It's okay. I'm happy for them. And, you know, it's all good. I'm not, like I told my wife when we opened the shop, don't be afraid if somebody's getting better. That's why my thing is, I want everybody to be better. When I went to a shop, 40, 50 employees, nobody would show me how to do acrylic. Nobody would show me how to do dip or anything. You have to kind of sneak and learn from people. People don't want you to look over the shoulder or nothing. They don't want to show you nothing because they're scared of they're taking your skill, taking your client. But sure. But if you're good, you don't need to
worry about it. Right. If you're good, that. You're good.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about it.
Exactly. Like I
said, if somebody's better than me, then I'm happy for it. It's okay. And there's enough people to go around.
Have you ever, and this may be too personal, but have you ever ran into any type of prejudice being here?
No. Not pressure. It just depends how you do things. People will take advantage of you if they are, if they see you weak prey. If my tech is doing, if the tech is not new, it's been here doing it, you know, for a while, and a new client comes in, keep looking, keep pointing and stuff. And if I notice her, and if the client's wrong, I would tell them straight up and say, "Hey, this is best you can do. If this shop's not for you, it's not for you. It's okay." So I'm on both sides. I will protect my employees if they're right. And I protect the customer if they're right. There's no prejudice to anything I see here.
You made the comment that you have not dealt with any prejudice here in your shop. What about when you started to open Spring Nail and you had to get all the things that you had to get to start your business? Did you run into anything then?
There's always hardships. There's always rocks in the road, bumps in the road, but it's not because, I guess I don't have a victim mentality. It's not because of a prejudice or anything. It's because, well, that person is just difficult, and you know, you have to overcome it.
Sure.
You have to know how to work around people to get what you want. If a person is difficult, you know, try another way. You know, just say when I go to the DMV or something and somebody's being short and stuff, I say, "Hey, how's your day today? Hope everything's good." And they're smiling, they're good, and then maybe they'll treat me different. So, you know, it's just how you approach it. I'm blessed. I didn't see anything. But my dad, when he was working, when he first came over and started working, because he was a hard worker, other people didn't like him. Americans didn't like him. So they lied to the manager to get my father fired.
Really?
My dad didn't speak English well. He didn't know. So there was a mediator. He came, he found out. But my dad didn't care. He brushed it off. He said, you know, it's okay. He don't like me. I go somewhere else and find a job and start working. It's okay. And, you know, we didn't hold any grudges. It's fine. Some people don't like you. You can't be liked by everyone.
How old are your parents now?
My dad passed away about 6 years ago. My mom is like 80, you know, 79.
What do you miss about Vietnam? I know you go every, like, few years or something.
Few years. I just miss the food, of course, because I grew up in it, and just the amount of respect that people have over there is amazing. You know, it's so many rules. When I was growing up, there's so many rules, but as I grew up, I love those rules. It makes me who I am.
Yes.
Kids don't touch their parents' head. You don't walk in front of them. A TV, like if you're watching the TV, when you walk over, you duck down a little bit. Even though you don't, you still appear in the view.
Sure.
It's just a gesture that you respect.
Sure.
And you know, just when you're around in the corner, say there's a party, right? And everybody's drinking, right? Everybody's having fun. The unspoken rule is the youngest of the group go get whatever the heck I want. And then when you grow up, you can tell the youngest of the group.
Exactly.
That's just an unspoken rule.
You need exactly.
Some ice, you get some ice. There's no back talk. There's no, hey, no, I'm not going to go. I don't have a car. No, you take my car and you go.
Yes. That was my generation. Now this generation, a little bit different, but that was also my generation. Of course, my mom's generation too. Johnny, what else do you want to do in your life? You've accomplished so much. What else do you want to do?
I want to build something for my kids. It's just amazing that, you know, I'm here. I appreciate the country. You know, I love America, and it's just an opportunity to grow, because even in Vietnam and stuff like that, you can't really grow that much. So it's just, I'm not talking bad about it. It's just
like
the opportunity is just not, it's harder to come by. Here, if you work hard, you can do. Let's say if I am successful, it's great. If I open a shop, if I'm not successful, I'm still being an entrepreneur, making money.
So exactly.
And you save, and you know, you don't spend too much. I want to teach my kid not to spend more than you make, you know. And then
living above your means.
Yeah, don't do that. And it's good. And my wife, she's very good at keeping money.
This has been an amazing interview. What would you like for my audience to know? I have been pleasantly surprised because there were assumptions being made when you see so many nail shops and you see the majority of the nail shops, the culture of the people that are running the nail shops. And so you automatically make assumptions. But I am so glad that you made it clear that nobody handed you thousands and thousands of dollars to come over here, that you came over here and you made this business just like any of us would do. It was hard work and you were successful with it. What do you want the audience to know?
Just another note that my dad, when he came over here, he specifically told me he had $5 left in his pocket. He had nothing left, $5 left, and that was it.
Really?
And it's an opportunity, you know. I can't speak for all nail shop and all nail technicians, but even though that person may not speak English well, that person may not be as fluent as I am. You know, they're trying to support their family, and, you know, just be nice, you know, don't, because I know that sometimes when people don't understand clearly, people get frustrated.
Yes.
And sometimes I see it in my shop, I jump in and I help the other guy or the girl, but you know, everybody's trying to work hard. Just like everybody's, as far as I know, everybody's is a refugee and come to America at some point. You were new at some point. So treat that person new, because when that person been here for 20, 30 years, they're gonna, you know, there'll be other people that's coming in.
Right.
So yeah, I see a lot of time people come in and don't treat my tech nice because
sure.
of the language barrier.
Sure.
That gets me upset. That's when I come in and I make sure that, you know, I'm here to hear everything. So, that's all.
Do you mind if I ask you about religion?
No.
What is your religion?
Christianity.
Catholic, Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Church of God, Church of Christ?
I'm
what?
Baptist.
Really? Is that something that your parents started when you were younger, or is this a decision that you made as you got older?
I asked my parents when I was older, when I was younger, I asked, why did we come, have we always been Christianity, or are we Buddhism? Because most of the Asian people are Buddhist. So I asked them, I said, well, we've always been Christians, but we were too poor to go to church in Vietnam. So you had to, you know, dress nice and, you know,
really?
Do, you know,
really?
We don't have dress nice. The only day we dress nice was New Year, because you don't have money to buy clothes. When I was younger, I was wearing girls' clothes because we didn't have money. We had to borrow girl clothes that was given to me, and I would wear them because we didn't have money to buy clothes. So we were Christians in Vietnam, but we didn't have money and opportunity to go there. So therefore, we never went there. I didn't know. So we
really?
The church came help us out, and we just became Christian. Well, we were already, but I was baptized when I was in Kentucky for a time.
Do you still go to that same church?
Yes, here? My mom and my family still go there.
That is really cool. I'm going to close, Johnny, and I always close Karen's Inquisitive Corner with what I know that I know that I know. So how old are you, if you don't mind me
42.
Asking? 42. So at 42, came to America around 9 or 10, you're a business owner, you're a father, you're a brother, your husband, your uncle. What do you know that you know that you know on this day at 42 years old?
You can do anything you want, get to people to see your way, as long as you come at them the right way. That's it.
Donnie, thank you so much for this interview.
And thank you for the interest in that.
Sure. See you later. Talk to y'all later. See you next Saturday. Bye-bye.